to the Adam Fawcett Show, live from La Costa Mexican Restaurant. Now, welcome the Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union BB Comer Sports Network's Greg Wyckoff.
Welcome to the Comer Sports Network. I'm Greg Wyckoff. David McCurley at the control. The coach is here. The coach's son is here. But coach, we're missing you know who again.
I know.
Well, you know, people talked about me not making it to the coach's show. I think Tony has outdone me.
I think so. I think we may have to go remote and do the coach's show wherever he is.
He texted me yesterday, and I didn't get to answer him, so he called me. He thought I was mad at him. I said, buddy, if you got something to do, you got something to do. And speaking of things to do, coach, they brought you bowls of salsa today. Not the little flat ones. You have many bowls over there to dip. They're learning. I mean, we're getting further into this.
We talked. So,
he's got connections.
So you know, obviously our season hadn't gone like we had planned, and we're not going to be playoff bound. So off air before the show started, I've already talked to McCurley over here. I said, hey, listen, the Wednesday of the playoffs, let's do a playoff show before the playoff coaches come in and talk. So, like, you know, Fables in the playoffs, I can come and come. John can come and do his radio show and all that. So, but before he does, we'll talk playoffs. That way, I can eat chips, cheese, and salsa. An extra Wednesday.
You
know? I'll even provide some insight for what it's worth, which ain't much.
Well, I guarantee you, some of these coaches want your insights. You know, speaking of the playoffs, before we get into BB Comer's show, and they've got Lee Scott coming to town, Greg. But you know, there's many teams around here that we need to, you know, say congratulations to that are already in the playoffs. Fayetteville, of course, being one of those. I think, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that Vincent is definitely in. It depends on travel or home, but they're in. How about the Coosa Central Cougars? They're in the playoffs as well.
Coach Flowers down there is doing a great job with those guys. And him and I communicated a little bit here and there, and I told him early in the season, I was like, you are doing a phenomenal job getting those kids to play hard and just doing some things that are very, very impressive. So I think huge shout out to the Wolves and Coach Limbaugh, just capitalizing with a big senior group and making the most of it. If they finish out, they're looking at 8-2 on the season. And finishing third in the region, and that, man, that's huge for their program. Winterboro down the road is really, really good. They've got a chance to go deep into the playoffs. Like you said, Coach Weatherford and Vincent has those guys rolling again,
and we hadn't even talked about Winterboro. You know, they're up there too. But you talked about Coach Weatherford. I didn't want to interrupt you, but. That's a 2A school that could sneak up on some people in the playoffs.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I think in that 2A North region, man, it's kind of wide open. So a lot of things that could happen. You've got Tuscaloosa Academy and Pisgah, a couple of the bigger schools there that can make some noise as well, and just kind of see how it sorts itself out. So. That's the thing about the playoffs in high school sports, man, is that anything can happen on any given night, and playoff football is different. Like it's very, very different, and any young coaches, whether they be assistants or head coaches that haven't had a chance to experience it, it's important to be prepared, but it's also so important to enjoy the moment and really, like, soak it in, and that's one thing I didn't do when we went to Jordan-Hare is I never enjoyed the moment. Like the day before and the day of and everything else, I was so caught up in everything going as planned that I never really took time to enjoy the moment. I remember the night before we played, we went to watch a game in the stadium. We were leaving to head back to the hotel. And I remember just walking out, and I turned around and looked at the stadium. And that was about the only time I took a breath the whole time. Just kind of turned back, looked at the stadium. I think maybe I took a picture of Ben or maybe Max and Ben, and that was it. you know. Other than that, it was straight business. So enjoy the moment. Let the kids enjoy the moment, but they also have to understand how important the moment is.
So you're saying we're going to enjoy the moment next year?
That's the plan.
That's the plan?
That's the plan. Reclassification. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the region meeting. I don't even know who it is yet.
You get a breath, yeah. and we move back to 2A next year, not trying to skip two ball games this year, but to take a one-and-a-half A school into 2A is going to be a lot better than a one-and-a-half school in 3A football because – especially with two of the, I'll just go ahead and say, because I thought about it all day today. Private schools have no business in small school ball.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's not even. And I'm not saying that we don't have a chance against. We have a real good chance against Lee Scott. They have struggled at times this year. They have not played very well at times this year. But when you have a Lee Scott and a Glenwood in your region. It's tough for the other teams, your public schools.
Yeah, it makes it very, very tough, and I'm curious to see moving forward if there's going to be any change with that.
You know, me too.
The other states have adopted Georgia has adopted some, and I don't understand the ins and outs of it, but they've adopted a system where the private schools play in the regular season like normal. And then when the playoffs come, they pull out and they play in a private school playoff on their own.
And I want to ask you this because I've mentioned that for 5 years now, 5 to 10 years, I've talked about that. Coach, if you think about it, the Super 7 that you talked about playing at Jordan-Hare, now it's at Protective Stadium, okay? Instead of having a Super 7, wouldn't we have like a Super 11 or 12 if you had a private school 4 or 5 classification and then the public schools as well? Wouldn't they make more money? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't there be more fans?
Yep.
It would be a win-win situation.
Right.
I don't understand why we've not moved to that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think it's more games, more gates, more tickets, more opportunities. It just makes more sense to me because there are just kind of different rules and expectations of things. And
it probably doesn't because in the boys' sports, it really only affects football. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a public school and you have a good basketball team, you can compete. If you have a good baseball team, you can compete. But now the girls is totally different. It's night and day. Mm-hmm. Public, private.
Well, but I want to mention this, and Coach probably knows I'm not going to mention the school's name because I don't want to get in trouble here. But several years ago, third-round baseball playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sylacauga goes way down to a private school, and Sylacauga had a very good baseball team. Mm-hmm. And they're playing a team that's got 25 kids, 13 of them are seniors, 9 of them have signed, and 4 of them's about to be drafted.
Yeah,
you're right. You do have a better chance in baseball than basketball, no doubt about it. But it's filtered down now to where volleyball, softball, soccer, tennis, it's just unreal.
Well, the facts are it goes back to resources, okay? And this isn't a knock on our system. Our school system, I'm a big fan of Talladega County Schools, and Dr. Lacy does a phenomenal job. But at the end of the day, we don't have the same resources that a private school has.
Mm-mm, no.
Like it's just – We don't have it, you know. That's like comparing tomatoes and oranges. So, and it's just not a feasible thing, you know. When I was at Chillsburg and we were in 4A, we would go compete at the state track meet in Mobile or in Gulf Shores, and I would have a kid. Hey, you know, I'm throwing a javelin 150 something. Oh man, that's good. And then you get down there and you're competing. And this kid's throwing the javelin 180, 190, and he had talked to him. He's like, well, I have private lessons. We have a javelin coach. We have a javelin coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have me and one other person that coaches track at Comer. So, like, you know, literally I tell the sprinters, hey, this is today's workout. I'm going to go over here and talk to the distance guys. Distance guys, this is what you do. All right, shot put, this is what you do. Jumpers, we got to jump, you know. So, like it's just the resources that are available are completely different, you know.
You know, it's funny you mention that because we've been asked, I say we, Radio Alabama, have been asked to do track meets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I love you. I want to do it, but we're not ESPN here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 10 things going on at one time.
Yes.
We have two people. It's impossible to do that. Yeah. So it's kind of the same. But I want to get back to Lee Scott, the mm-hmm. game coming up Friday night, because going into this season, correct me if I'm wrong, how many seniors did you have on your football team?
Was it? Had three.
Three, mm-hmm. okay. And no matter what that number is now, whether mm-hmm. it's still three or four, whatever, I wanted to ask you, you know you're not going to the playoffs. You still need to be loyal mm-hmm. to those three, four seniors.
Mm-hmm.
But now, are you working on next year as well?
Yeah, definitely. We're rotating so much. I say we're moving some young guys in. We've had young guys all year. So
right.
We're looking at some different positions, looking at just opportunities to do some different things and kind of see what's available and what our guys can do. So injury has hit us too. So
yeah.
that changes the spectrum for a lot of things. So with the injury bug looming, that's kind of changed our plan, and we've had to adapt and do some different things with that. So, but yeah, man, seniors, they'll have an opportunity to really showcase and do their thing one last time at the stadium and be able to play and maybe have a few little special things up our sleeve for them if everything goes as planned. But, you know, it's one of those deals where man, I know this is radio, so it's one of those things where I told them a lot this week. Like I told them today after practice, we're standing there. I said, "Listen, everybody here has contributed to this pile of dung that we have created. Like all of us have screwed up. As coaches, we've screwed up. As players, we've screwed up. As whoever, you know, even the water boy is screwed up. So, so we've all created that, and we've got to push through the next 2 weeks, and then we can take a breath and reassess some things, and that's what we'll do. You know, I'll reassess how some things are done. I'll reassess some things moving forward as far as what we need to do, and like it's an odd thing because we have to, as coaches, we got to figure out how to get to this new group because this new group's not like the old group that we had, and we have athletic ability in this group, and that other group we had that we had such a good run with, like if you challenge them, you know, golly, one of the games I challenged them to score 28 points and a half, and they did it in the first quarter. And we came in at halftime, and they're like, "Yeah, coach, what else you got for us?" You know, like, you know, so they accepted those challenges, and now we have kids that, man, like they just won't, like you can't challenge them. You know, hey, you're better than that. Hey, that's terrible. Hey, like we've tried all the different methods.
Yeah.
And you know, we've tried the good cop, the bad cop, we've tried all those different methods, and we can't find that common place that works. So. Well, we've got to find that commonplace. There's also got to be some accountability on the other end of things too, because as parents, you got to hold your kids accountable
mm-hmm.
for the things that they have. You know, if you're 16 years old and you're forgetting your girdle and you have to have a new mouthpiece every day, that's a problem.
Yep.
You know, like you have to be accountable for that. You know, I have parents that get mad because when you get into school football. I don't do a remind or a group me for the parents. I'm not sending a message home every time something is going on. I expect your teenage son to communicate with you. You know, this past year, we haven't got a schedule yet. Well, they've been printed, and they've been sitting where all our paperwork sits, right by the coach's office, since the first day of workouts, right next to the summer workout schedules and any other paperwork that you need. So there's got to be accountability on both ends, and that's where it's really got to start. So I've even thought about one-on-one meetings with parents and saying, hey, this is where we need to go. I need to know if you guys are in or out, because it's going to be hard. Like we have to embrace toughness. Mm-hmm. We have to embrace how to overcome adversity and simple things like being told no. Like we have kids that apparently don't get told no a lot. Like it's okay to be told no, and it's okay to be told, hey, that's not good enough, because sometimes it's not good enough. And at the end of the day, like, these guys are going to have to go get jobs one day. These guys are going to have to get married one day. They're going to have to be a father one day and all that other stuff. As a father, my kids think, man, Dad just likes to say no for no reason. And that's all he says is no. Can we do this? No. Can we do that? No. Like, dang, you know, they're like, well, Dad's no fun. Well, Dad has to have your best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say no, there's a lot of times there's things I already know about a situation, or I know, hey, this isn't what's best for them, because I'm looking out for them and what's best for them. So if I'm no fun and whatever you wanted to do was fun but got somebody in trouble or was something that they shouldn't have done, then I'm okay with being no fun.
See, it was kind of neat. You're talking about raising boys, right? I officiated a wedding mm-hmm. this past weekend, and they were supposed to turn and look at me, but the whole time they faced each other and held hands. And so afterwards, the groom came to me laughing, and he said, I know we didn't turn. He said, but I looked down and I saw her hand shaking, so I had to grab it. And coach, that's what you're talking about.
No doubt.
That's the kind of man.
No doubt.
That you, and then that was just total respect for
yes.
that kid after that.
Yeah.
Because he saw it and he got
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And kids now, they have to, they're on their phones, they're, it's all social media. That's mm-hmm. all, that the whole world revolves around social yes. media and games.
Mm-hmm.
And football is the sport outside, and it is, like you said, it's a tough sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and not everybody can do it, and that's why they're not a ton of kids playing football.
Right. Yeah, and like, this is not a B.B. Comer issue. This is not a Talladega County issue. Man, it's kind of all over the place.
It's everywhere. When my kids went to Sylacauga, there were more football players in the stands than there were on the field.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, you knew it. You saw them.
Yeah. And you have very few places, all right, like Fife, okay? Fife is a place where, you know, Paul Benefield has been there since, well, honestly, I think he's been there since 79. That's the year I was born. So, like, he's ingrained in that place. Their youth system is ingrained in that place. Like, everything has been like clockwork, you know. And I wish that we could do that at a place like this. But one, that you've got too many schools in a small area to just claim your stake on something. And two, it's about resources, and it's about kind of being able to have enough people to do that. And those people have to understand, hey, it's going to be this way. Like, no other way. It's going to be this way. And that's what it's got to be through the year. So you're kind of losing places like that. You know, Clay Central is a place like that where those guys understand it. You know, I get chastised by some of our parents because of summer workouts or because of Labor Day practice. Labor Day practice was one that was like, I can't believe you're practicing on Labor Day. Well, let me tell you something. We practiced on Thanksgiving 3 years ago, and not one person complained.
That's right.
Exactly. So everybody was pumped up about that one. Everybody was there early for that one. So, and you show me a team that's not practicing on Labor Day, I'll show you a team that either doesn't care or they happen to have an off week that just timed right. But you know, you like, it's just a commitment level, man. There's got to be commitment to it, you know, whereas, like, I don't pick when people can go on vacation, okay? And Coach Horn at Central, hey, you better go on vacation the week of the 4th. Other than that, you better be there. And guess what? They're there.
Yeah.
They don't miss. Mm-hmm. That's why they got 7, 8, 9 kids that are squatting over 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. Because it's a commitment. And sometimes you gotta take away or miss out on something that's fun to have a commitment to something. Because being successful is fun. Winning a game is fun. Winning a matchup one on one. If I'm a offensive lineman, I want to win more plays than I lose against that defensive lineman. You know, it's the competitiveness. It's the having some grit. It's the, you know, like just being able to get into it and get after it. And I just, you know. And the crazy thing is, like talking about all this, we have gotten after it better this week than we ever have, like at practice. Like it's just, like today we had guys just wailing each other between the whistles. I'm like, golly,
where's this been?
Like where is this energy? Where is this, you know? And it just hasn't been there. And we're trying to. It's like pulling teeth. You're like, hey, let's go, get it up, get excited. No, like today we're like, hey, y'all, chill out a little bit, you know? Golly, we're already thin. Don't get anybody else hurt.
Well, I'm going to ask you something. We'll keep it here, Greg. But I wanted to ask Coach something. You mentioned Coach Benefield and Fife and everything. Mm-hmm. Before you were born, and when I can remember back to when I was a little kid, and even when I was in high school, there was a high school team up in Northwest Alabama that had 51 boys in the high school. 50 of them played football. They won state championship, and that wasn't just one year. That was every year. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about there's got to be a level of you know, accountability. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about that, I want to talk about this Lee Scott team because mm-hmm. you can go out and you can get all these kids at these private schools, and they can be better than mm-hmm. than some of these kids in rural areas, okay? Mm-hmm. But they still have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. And they're one of the most disciplined teams in this state.
No doubt. They are very, very disciplined. And Buster Daniel does a great job with them. And look, Buster is a public school guy. He was public school all mm-hmm. through. He's a retired coach that's double dipping right now.
Yep.
And he's a public school guy. And him and I talk about that a lot because we had the conversation about what is coming down the pipe for public schools, private schools, the CHOOSE Act, all this other stuff, what's about to happen. And we've talked about that. And, man, his guys are so doggone disciplined. They are extremely disciplined. And also on their coaching staff, Jacob Osment, yeah. who is Vicky mm-hmm. Osment's son, who was mm-hmm. – I may get her title wrong before she retired, deputy superintendent or something like
yeah.
that. Well, Vicky Osment is who hired me as a head football coach at Winterboro mm-hmm. 17, 18 years ago. So she took a chance. She took a chance on some guy that just showed up and was there the year before. And she was like, look, you stayed, you committed, you're working, you know, you're making them work out.
She looks brilliant now, coach.
She does. She, I used to joke with her. I was like, you can tell me I'm the best hire you ever made, right? Yeah. So, but Jacob Osment runs the defense down there. Very disciplined. Very they don't make mistakes, and that's the thing. They're not going to jump off sides. They're not going to miss blocks. They're not like their steps are going to be perfect. Their their angles are going to be perfect. Everything's going to be just so. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong. He was the catcher for Chillsburg's baseball mm-hmm. team when you were there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, Jacob, you know, they got Chillsburg blood all throughout.
I know. Yeah. So, they're not going to make mistakes. And look, we've got, like I said, with injury and with just moving some guys around, we got some different faces in different places. But I'm excited about Friday just to see what our guys do, just see how they react and how they kind of handle the situation. And, with our few guys that are out, there's going to be some changes and stuff like that. But just looking forward to it. I think, you know, no matter what the season is, no matter what the record is, man, there's just something about when the lights come on.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about Friday Night Lights.
It is.
It's really, really special. And I feel like there's a lot of things trying to pull away from that specialness, but like as long as I'm able to walk the sidelines, like I'm gonna try to enjoy that as much as possible, and hope that our kids enjoy it. And again, enjoying it goes back to the commitment and that toughness and that all that effort that goes into it. But looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing some young guys play and seeing some guys get after it. And we will see what happens.
What we have about – we got about 5 minutes, Coach. What's something you saw on film from last week that was good that you could carry over to Friday night? Well, there are a lot of good things, Coach. Because I'm telling you, there were a couple people that sat around me last Friday night, and they said, "Golly!" And I saw one play. I saw they tried to run. They had a slant on, mm-hmm. and Larry Gable was all over it. Mm-hmm. And it was a good thing that happened, but then the bad thing happened right behind mm-hmm. it. The quarterback didn't even know what to do for a minute. He looked like he was stuck.
Yeah.
But then he said, "Oh, I can run." Yeah. And he took off running. It became a big play for him. Mm-hmm. So I know it's been like that all year long, yeah. but there were good moments for the defense. Mm-hmm.
I thought defensively we played pretty well overall. I think the quarterback their quarterback surprised us a little bit, just being able to move with his feet as well as he did.
He's good.
But you talk about the good, like the Larry Gables of the world that has really grown. And he still, man, he still makes some mistakes, and he'll still jump out of the way of a tackle every once in a while. I'm like, "Larry, were you scared?" He's like, "No, I wasn't scared." I'm like, "All right, Larry." But like,
he's just a ninth grader.
Yeah. Yeah, just a ninth grader. And like those kids have really hung in there, and you got to give them their props for hanging in there. And we've got some other, like Levi Watson is another little ninth grader that's on the line. That Levi's is one reason why I have some of these gray hairs, but he's not alone. But Levi, man, like trying to explain to him, like when you decide to do, you're pretty doggone good, and you're a freshman. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you take your proper steps, like, with full speed, like you're supposed to, you're pretty good. But when you're lazy about it, you're pretty bad. So, and, like, Travion Reynolds came in last week when Max went out and was phenomenal. Like, he did really, really good under a pressure situation.
And he's a freshman, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he's a freshman. And he's, man, he has really been able to handle the situation, and he's going, you know, I'll be honest, he'll be at the helm Friday, you know, Max is out. He won't even be dressed, and, he'll be at the helm and handle the offense. And, he's had a good week. He does really well. He's very, very coachable. So that definitely helps things out. But man, there's so many positives to it. I hope that the hard part through all this is when the train was rolling, when the Tiger train was rolling full speed ahead, there was a lot more passengers on board, mm-hmm. and now there's a lot of people that aren't on board. But as the train goes by slowly, they're trying to throw rocks. And that ticks me off more than anything. You're either in or you're out, and you can take shots at me all day and talk about how bad I am, but don't take shots at our kids, and don't question our kids. Don't question their ability. Don't question if they're hurt or not, or anything like that, because that ticks me off.
There were a few hecklers in the stands, but one good thing, Coach, the stands were pretty full. Mm-hmm. A good crowd came Friday night. Yeah. We need another good crowd this Friday night. And like you said, we got new faces and new places. So I'm excited, and I have a little insight. So I'm especially excited. We got to go real fast, Coach, but we're going to keep it on the low key in the off season. I'm going to help recruit. You just got to find the parents' jobs, okay? So we'll work on that.
That's all fair. That's all fair.
Wait a minute now, because that's not fair. I know. Well, Coach, we appreciate you being here. You know, I know it's been a tough year, just as it has for this next guy that's coming up. But I tell you what, both of you, I'd let my son play for either one of you any day of the week, and I truly mean that because of the men that you are and the way that you lead these programs. And, hey, good luck Friday night against Lee Scott. I know they're bringing a good bunch mm-hmm. in here, and we're beat up and banged up. But you know what? I got a feeling those people you're talking about that are on board all the time, they're going to be the ones in the stands, and they're going to be rooting these guys on.
That's right.
So B.B. Comer and Lee Scott, Friday night from Legion Stadium Airtime, will be at around 6:30 for Greg Wyckoff, Tony White, and, of course, our own Michael Giddens.